So as far as timing goes, to get into a bit more detail, we will require additional time for the approval of the permit application by the district. Initial review is roughly 30 days. Any comments on the review would require an additional 30 days. So our estimate is that it will be roughly 2 to 3 months for the approval of the permit application. Once that is authorized, we anticipate 4 to 5 months or so to fully complete the project. And again, working with our suppliers to ensure that that is done as expeditiously as possible. So for corrective measures that we've taken, first is applied for the first interim variance, which was granted, and the regular variance, which is what we are going over today. Performing a diagnostic inspection of the oxidizer so we could understand what the source of the issues is. Hiring an environmental consulting firm, as Matt and his team are experts in this field. We've also conducted further testing, such as a SUMMA canister test, and we have, as mentioned before, obtained quotes for both replacing and repairing the thermal oxidizer. And Matt will be helping to ensure that whichever path we go down will meet the requirements of BACT. So to close, we believe that given the specific circumstances, a variance would allow us to continue operations while implementing the necessary corrective measures to achieve full compliance. So today we are respectfully requesting the opportunity to continue operating the thermal oxidizer under the terms of the interim variance and to postpone future source testing. We are prepared to work closely with the district to ensure compliance as quickly as possible. As we've been with the community for many years, and we are taking the measures to the best of our ability to ensure that our actions have not had any significant impacts to the neighborhoods or environment. And as we close with, at our site is safety first and quality always. So thank you, board, for your time. I'll open to any questions.
I'll bring this back to the board and ask board members if they have any questions of the applicant.
Yeah, I have some questions. So on your slide 16, you talked about limiting emissions within the permit limitations. So I was just curious how you were going to be doing that and monitoring that.
This one? This slide?
Yes.
Okay, and your question is for
on,
which?
On 1B.
1B. So this is based on our calculations of what we have. So even with the increase, particularly of the ACM of emissions, we would still expect to be under below the site's limitations. If there is any risk to that, we would alter production schedules to make sure that we are under. That we have, as stated before, we have 3 casting lines. ACMs is one of the casting lines that it goes through the thermal oxidizer, which is affected.
Okay, so that one would be still in violation of its specific requirements, but the overall site
Correct.
Would be within
that is our expectation.
Okay.
And I had a number of questions. I want to thank you, first of all, for a very clear presentation of findings. This was extremely helpful. What I had before me was the petition, and there are still some questions that were raised in my mind in that. First of all, a 30-year-old thermal oxidizer that 1 million BTUs per hour, that's a heavy workload, and that type of equipment does not last forever. One thing that was not clear to me, the thermal oxidizer will deteriorate over time. You failed the most recent test, but I couldn't really see a history of tests prior to that. Did you detect any increase in emissions previously and or a creeping flow rate?
We did not see that. We've met the requirements of less than 10 ppmv for at least since 2020. And to the best of my knowledge, we have not failed the source test before.
I mean, I didn't see any evidence of prior source testing and any pattern of deterioration. I mean, there wasn't anything here that
we did not notice any pattern of deterioration prior to this year. It was a
and how would the flow rate have creeped up from 10 to 20 over between your last test and the current one? What operationally would have changed that increase the flow rate into the thermal oxidizer?
So we did not make any operational changes other than the one that we specified by particularly implementing a dampener. Our processes are very controlled in that there are different conditions impacts from a product standpoint. Things like speed, temperature, which are inputs into the output and the emissions. Changing any of those is going to change the product itself, so we have to be really tight on there. So any changes to that are typically have to go through a fairly strict change management process. But we have not, again, I've been with the company for a little over a year. To the best of my knowledge, we haven't made any processing changes. The installation of a dampener is just to better control and to give us another form of control to make sure.
In your ducting that goes to the system, do you have like a pitot tube or anything like that to regularly take exhaust flow measurements?
So we do have just a couple of cavities that we can put in a measurement device into.
Because I was also looking at the district report that brought up a couple of notices of violation for delayed source testing on this same unit over the past. I think it first mentioned 2022 and then 2023, and then this failed one in 2024. And so, you know, I view a dampener installation as, you know, relatively easy and a pretty straightforward fix for that. But it was interesting that the exhaust rate was high repeatedly. And, you know, if I think about the thermal oxidation process, you know, in the permit, it calls out also a residence time, right? If you're not giving that material enough time in the combustion chamber, you might have less efficiency, you know, and that would be what kind of drives that increase in outlet emissions.
So from what we've, part of our inspection determined that the residence time and the temperature of the oxidizer are as expected. So yes, interesting.
And again, this was just a question that was begged to me when I was reading through this. Thermal oxidizers typically require a maintenance schedule. I mean, they're inclined to sitting up, which also affects efficiency. What I didn't see any evidence of what you do regularly for maintenance of your oxidizer.
So that's something that we are making more robust. That is an opportunity for improvement on our end as well. And going forward, that will be implemented. Standard PMs, we contract a lot of our standard PMs to external suppliers, and they will perform. It'll be quarterly or yearly, depending on the prescription that they have.
Further questions?
So I think maybe probably my last question is just on some detail for the increments of process or of progress. So, you know, you say you have quotes for both the repair and replace options in hand, but I didn't kind of see a timeline for when that type of decision would be made.
I think that's the test that they were mentioning. Yeah. They mentioned to us that it would be a drill. That was a nice and short one. Sorry, repeat your question.
It was just some detail on the increments of progress and kind of the decision on repair or replace of the oxidizer.
Sure. So again, that's going to depend on a few things. First is obviously compliance, and that's one of the reasons why we have retained Matt and his services. Is whatever the worst case scenario in my mind would be, we authorize either a replacement or repair, and it doesn't meet BACT. So we've retained him. That analysis will need to be done. Once we have that, then we'll just make the decision that we deem best. Again, a variety of factors for approvals and everything.
Hello? Yeah, my firm is a multiple service firm, so we're actually doing construction management also. We're doing
Matt, it's still muted.
Yeah, you want the green light on the mic, I think, to be on.
There you go.
My firm is a multi-services professional services company, and we're actually, besides consultant, being an air pollution control practitioner, other parts of my office in the county do construction management. We're actually doing construction management at Tahiquas right now. So we're ready when the unit does come, we're ready to help them install it.
So I didn't fully answer your question. So timeline, again, it's going to depend on the full sourcing of all the quotes. Once we have that, we expect roughly a week or two. Again, something of this magnitude will require significant corporate approval.
Yeah, I work in the corporate world now. I'm not surprised for, yeah. And I work in capital project execution. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not surprised.
Just another question. So there was some redaction of some of the VOCs, ROCs that were emitted from your process, and I'm assuming that was because of trade secrets. The only thing I'd like to confirm is that we're not looking at hazardous organic compounds.
I do not believe so, no.
Currently, the ROCs is not a hazardous air pollutant from the ACM process.
Further questions from members of the board? I think all of my questions were answered in the other questions that were asked. I'd just like to hear from the district. Do you support this variance?
Good morning, Chair Dessler, members of the board. District staff does support the variance request based off of the petition and the presentation today.
And I have another question of the district. Are you pretty much convinced that even though the failure that is being experienced now and will be experienced during the length of this variance is a failure of the efficiency of the control device, that the total processing, the total facility emissions will probably remain under the permitted limits?
We have district engineer Charlotte Mountain on the line. I would like for her to be able to address the emissions question for you.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. Based on the source test report that was submitted, I performed some emission calculations that verified the way that the thermal oxidizer was operating during that source test. The total emissions for the facility are below the limits in the permit. As was explained earlier, the control efficiency is not being met, but the total emissions are below the facility permitted emission limit.
Thank you. All right. Well, then I will bring this back to the board and we can go down the findings and make sure that we can make all the findings. From my perspective, and I'd like any input from the board if they think I've missed the mark on this, I do believe that the testimony we heard consistent with finding one in that the facility is in violation of the district permit requirements. And that the noncompliance is due to, is beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner at this time because they were unaware of any problems with the equipment until the failed source test, and they have still not completely determined the source of the problem, In order for them to fix the problem, they need to determine the source of the air pollution. The closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air pollution. That's one of the reasons why I clarified that last question. Apparently, there is no mass emission excess here. It has to do with the efficiency requirements in the permit for the control equipment. So I believe that finding can be made. They've considered curtailing operations and gave adequate and exhaustive testimony about what that would involve. And they've actually agreed that they will look at other processes to make sure that their emissions stay within the facility limits. And they've also provided a testimony that they will reduce the maximum extent feasible other emission sources within the facility during this process. They also gave testimony that during the whole process that they will quantify and monitor any excess emissions and report them to the district. Also, it is unlikely, considering their location and the nature of these emissions and the fact that there is no estimated excess emissions facility-wide, that this facility would cause a public nuisance that it hasn't already caused, and the district has not reported that there's been any nuisance issue from this facility. Do I have any other input with regard to these findings from the board members?
No, I agree that the findings can be made through the testimony and the sequence of questioning.
All right.
I do too, and I concur with your summary.
All right. So I will bring this to the board for a motion.
Chair Dresser?
Yes.
We do have to open up.
Oh, yes. I will open public comment on this.
Chair Dresser, we did not receive any public comment for this item.
I will close public comment. Now, I will bring this back to the board, and I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to grant the variance.
Could you amend that motion to that we have made all the applicable findings and grant the variance?
Yes, I make a motion that we have found all applicable findings and determined to grant the variance.
And I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. You have your variance.
Thank you, board.
Thank you.
All right. The next item before us today is the administrative agenda. Does any hearing board member wish to pull any item off the administrative agenda for discussion? I will open public comment on the administrative agenda.
We received no public comment on the administrative agenda.
Can I get a motion to approve the administrative agenda in one vote?
So moved.
A second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Administrative agenda is adopted. All right. This brings our meeting to a close. Thank you all very much. The meeting's going to now be adjourned until May 7th, 2025 at 9:30 a.m. And it may be subject to cancellation if there are no issues to be heard at that time. Thank you.
Thank you.